my girl's missing. You're not a parent. You understand what that's like. I didn't understand what it would be like until it happened, but I can't be a person again. I can't be a person again. I can't be a person again until I know she's okay.
A room with a frosted glass window, but you can tell that there's flickering lights going on in the room, and Haley Stone succeeds at listening at the door. When she listens at the door, she hears some very grotesque sounds, sound of moaning and the undulating of wet flesh. Haley Stone, as you hear this uncomfortable sound, you feel the glass of the window caress your cheek.
I pull away instantly.
And it's all, you look at the window, and it's a solid window. And you can't tell if the window rippled and touched you, or if you just got lost and the sound in your face just drifted too close. But the coldness of that window struck you out of this moment. And you back up into Lewis, who grabs you by the shoulders to support you.
And I recoil from him pretty fast, too.
And he's not wanting to say anything because you guys are sneaking.
Did you hear that? Can you... Don't put your face on the glass.
I don't hear nothing. I don't hear nothing at all.
Did you see anything? Something touched me. Did you see it?
No, ma'am. What are we doing?
Where are we in terms of, like, what's the hallway situation around us like?
You're at a door at the end of a hallway.
So it's not, like, going in both directions. It's kind of a dead-end situation.
Yeah. There's a sign on the wall to your left that says screening room.
Are there any other doors nearby? Like, just curious about if I start to hear somebody coming.
There is a door if you go back about 10 feet.
Uh-huh.
On the right side of the hallway, there's a door.
Okay.
And it looks like it's labeled storage.
I am going to put my hand on the glass again, just to see what happens now.
You put your hand on the glass, and you realize it is really cold, like frosty cold to the touch. And a pulse goes up your arm, almost like a vibration, like a shock.
That ain't natural, I say under my breath. I knock on the door. Yeah.
You gotta do it?
Yeah. You want me to do it?
If that's what you want to do. I want you to do what you want to do.
Oh my God, I'm right back in Meisner class right now. Knock at the door.
I knock on the door. You knock on the door. I knock on the door.
No, assess my knock.
How loud is my knock?
Oh my God. Okay, I need to.
You're not good.
I'm not good. Sorry, God. this is so serial that it's laughable.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
We're just off-gassing stress right now.
Yeah, I am freaking out. I'm freaking out.
No, I mean, that's what I... Yeah, I knock. I go, hello?
You knock on the door. You whisper hello. And you still hear that moaning. But then you hear footsteps.
I'm gonna back up. Give myself like 6 to 8 feet away from the door, but I'm going to wait to see what happens.
You and Lewis both back up and you see the window, the frosted window and the lights flickering, and you hear footsteps and then they fade away, the footsteps. And after a moment, the flickering window goes dark, completely black. Then you hear more footsteps. They're getting closer to the door. The doorknob opens and standing in the doorway, you see a young man with wire-rimmed glasses, blonde hair. He's very young. He looks like he hasn't bathed in a couple days. His face is covered in dirt, and his eyes are bloodshot. And the smell that hits you when this door opens is the smell of weeks of body odor and sweat and mildew. It's repulsive, but he grins at you and he has this very disarming, charming, white-toothed smile. Do you want to see my movie?
Good evening, sir. I am not interested in watching your movie right now. I am on an errand, you see, here. I need to get into that there room. It seems you're in the wrong screening room, sir. There is another screening happening tonight, and it was booked in this room weeks ago, and I just can't have it moved. And Janine at the front, she asked me to send you to this other room instead, and I pull out my map, and I point to another screening room.
But I'm not ready. I have to move my.
Well, that
film.
Is what we're here
I,
for.
I can't
that is
understand
what we're.
This.
That is what me and my compatriot here have been sent to help you with, is to help you dismantle your setup here and get it moved into the new area. I'm very sorry. We are on a tight timetable, sir.
I don't understand. Prince said this room. He told me that I had...
I'm so sorry.
He was doing
sorry.
Everything for me.
I know Mr. Prince is excited about your film, mister, and I think he just went above and beyond, but you know as well as I do that the secretary is the backbone of the studio, and she holds the key to all of the calendars and the room reservations.
All these changes... I can't...
That's all right. We're here to support you, sir. And we just need to get into that room and move your things. Don't even worry about it. We're here. Our professionals. That's why they sent us here to help you do it lickety split. We'll have it set up just the way you like in this room right over here.
All right. I think you're going to have to make a roll. Mm-hmm. And we know that you have incredible...
So good.
She did so well with all that.
Can
though.
I?
Beautiful.
I gotta say, Tara. This is a really good move. It's a really good move. You're coming in pretty clutch with the moves here, but...
Can I get advantage because of my library use and reading the map?
No, absolutely not.
Damn, I gotta ask. Listen. Okay.
She did a lot of finagling last
I did like that last session, but it is... I've soured on it since then, so...
Persuade, or... What are my options?
Persuade, fast talk...
Whichever one has the highest natural.
Yeah, I mean...
Charm.
I mean,
charm is...
Charm is what? 20?
15.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's the highest. I think she is trying. It sounded charming.
Yeah, she seems to be charming him. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, a little. We're a professional.
You can make an argument for mm-hmm. probably any of them. Even the fast talk is like you're just using so many terms and stuff that he's.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm not rolling against 5%.
Oh, I see what your situation is.
Yeah.
You have garbage stats.
Garbage. Hey, listen, if you're listening to this, let me advise you. It may seem cool to give yourself these unbeatable stats. It's not.
We got a tweet specifically that was 130 in drive. Incredible.
You would have done a lot better just running him over with a golf cart.
To which I responded, we all talked about the idea of letting her have some of those points back and putting them in something else. And I said, no, that was my choice. I was like, absolutely not.
Listen, she's
going to be an incredible driver.
And no regrets. Okay. All right. All right. I'm trying to charm this fella. Come on, Dice. We're doing real well. That is not the way. I rolled really bad. I rolled a 68.
Yeah, I mean, so you're trying to hit like a 20?
A 15.
A 15? I mean, they're all failure, unless it's like a 90, a 96 or something. It's all fails, but.
I know.
How much luck do you have left?
How much? I've only got, We're only down to the
last
luck.
Two episodes. So, I mean, dump the luck.
Well, I think I might push my first roll.
Oh, for this?
I don't know.
15?
She's made a really good move. And the reality is this. You're failing this. He's going to close this door in your face. You know what I mean? But I mean, that's just the reality is he's not going to move until the response is going to be probably after this.
Yeah.
What's the response to a failed push?
I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
August died.
Yes, I know. This fella doesn't have a fucking gun on him though.
True.
Push it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Got to.
The way that I'm going to push it.
Too good to play.
I know. The way I'm going to push it is I'm going to. Are you listening, Dice? This is a really good play. Can you play along with me, please? So I'm going to. I can see that he's not buying it. And so I walk up closer to him. And I beckon Lewis to come with me. And I am holding the map out in front of me. And I say, let us just get a look here at your equipment. I bet you we can handle it like you wouldn't even believe. How much equipment you got to move anyway? I'm going to say, and look, it's not even that far. And I point to the closest one.
You're trying to appeal to like, listen, we'll make this as easy as possible. It's just over here.
Exactly. Like, I'm very sorry for the inconvenience, sir. I know that you put your heart and soul into this, but we're going to make sure that it is all set up just to your liking.
I like it. Yeah. Go for it.
Nah. I rolled a 71.
Just worse.
Yeah. Cool. Let's see what happens.
Come on in.
Oh, geez.
Why, thank you, sir. And I will step past him into the room.
You go into this room and there is there's an empty concrete floor right in front of you because you guys are, well, I can't remember now, but like you guys, there's an empty concrete floor, smooth, polished, and there is a small room directly across from you that's a projection booth. And to your right, when you step in, there is a row of about 5 rows of seats. It's a small room. I mean, it's a big room, but it's a small projection room, right? Mm. So there's maybe about 50, like 5 rows of 10 and a little aisle. And there's a slope to it. And then there's a screen. When you step into the room, he directs you over towards the seats. He's like, hang on a second. I need to move some things around first. And then I'll show you. It's a state of the art projector just for this movie.
As soon as he starts to head towards it, I'm following him there. I'm not going to the seats. And I'm beckoning Lewis to follow me. What I want to do is I'm going to be about my business. Like, as soon as he starts showing me where it is, I'm going to start trying to dismantle it.
He opens the projection booth and walks in.
I go.
You follow behind him.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as he walks in, he flips a switch and the projector comes to life.
Oh, can I reach past him and turn it back off? I'm sorry, we do not have time for this, sir. You can show us in the next room. I'm shutting it off. And I'm going to get in between him and the machine.
You're going to have to make a roll for this.
Yeah, and we're back in my territory now.
She doesn't have any sweet talking, but she can talk.
But I can beat him up.
Yep. Hit dexterity.
Just straight dexterity.
Yeah.
Done. I have made an, hang on. What is 20% of 75?
No idea.
Because I might have made an extreme success just now.
It's 15.
15. No, I didn't. I rolled an 18, so I'm just above an extreme success.
Where was
you know what? I'm going to spend fucking 3 luck on this bitch. I have an extreme success.
As he goes to flip it, you flip it back down.
Yeah.
I don't think you're really with the studio, are you?
I'm here on a mission, sir. I've been sent by people who care about this studio and who care about this film. Please step out of the way, sir, so we can move you to where you belong.
Are you with Goodrich? Is that what this is? He's trying to take my film back?
That makes you Leonard Camp.
Yeah. Pleased to meet you. And he holds out his hand and you can see just like black filth under very long fingernails.
I'm sorry that I can't say the same. And I do not take his hand.
It's so cold out here.
Sir, you need to take a second look at your hygiene, sir.
It's so cold out here in Hollywood. They don't treat you right. People don't look at you unless you do something special. You have to do something for them. They don't ever want to do anything for you. I have something special here for everybody. And they don't even have to leave their homes to see it. And you want to take that away?
I just want to move you into the other room, sir.
I don't think I can let you do that. And he is going to punch you in the face.
Okay.
Can you make a dodge roll?
Yeah. I have succeeded. My dodge is 37. I rolled a 36.
He swings and you're able to duck out of the way of this punch, and you get the impression that he is not going to stop until he does something to you. And you hear Lewis go, "We okay in there?" And he can't quite see into the projection booth because the projector's just going through a hole in the
Lewis,
wall.
I need your help. Get in here right now.
Oh, okay. What would you like to do?
I want to use his momentum to try to like put him on the ground. He's not very big.
All right. Yeah. Give me a brawl.
I can use brawl.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, there we go. My brawl is 60. I rolled a 29.
So he swings at you. His punch goes sailing past you. His momentum pulls him forward so that he's bent over. And you're essentially able to push him over onto the ground. He's balanced on one leg and he's basically a one-legged table. And you push it over onto the ground and you're on top of him. You can feel grime on your hands from his clothes. Almost like it's like his shirt's moist, like wet. Ugh. Damp. That's the word. It's like his shirt's damp. And Lewis comes in. He's like, "Oh boy, we're just getting on top of him.
I need you to hold him down so that I can dismantle this camera."
Oh, I should have had my club with me. That's how I saved Joanne Lamour.
Find something. There's something around here.
I don't know things. And he, okay, that's like, fine. No objects. And he just like goes down on top of this guy. He's like, "All right, buddy, do what you got to do." And
I'm going to make sure he's got it first.
Ooh, I rolled a 12 for Lewis.
Hey, Lewis. Ooh, hey, on. Lewis. All right.
Lewis gets down on this guy. That didn't sound good.
No, it didn't.
Lewis holds this man down and,
and now I'm going to try to, I got to take this camera apart. I want to not only take the film out, I want to dismantle it as much as I can. Like, yeah.
This thing is like a large box. it's a large box that has a small black window, a tinted window on the side. And it's unlike any film projector you've ever seen. And you can see wires running out of the back and connecting to other little panels. It's a mess of wires and cables and buttons, and it looks like one of those computers that fill an entire room just in a box, and you're not really sure what the fuck you're looking at anymore, other than he tried to flip a switch and you unflipped. Mm-hmm. How to get into it is a problem. Mm. But it is rather big.
How to get into it?
Leonard Kemp is on the ground just going like, don't do this. Don't do this. Why are you doing this? And he just starts screaming, Howard! Howard!
Lewis, make him shut up, will you?
Yeah, I don't. All right, cool. I only got two hands. And he puts his hand over Leonard Kemp's mouth. And Leonard Kemp is going to get a roll.
To bite.
To try and get the fuck out of here. I rolled 100.
It's a fumble.
Thank you, Dice.
He's crying.
Thank you, Dice.
Just seeing tears.
He wets himself.
Tears just creating streaks, clean, like semi-clean, cleaner streaks across his face. It's all still filth. You're like, okay, how do we, what do we do with this thing? And while you're figuring out how to deal with this,
yeah,
we have to go back to Joanne Lamour and Detective Dorrit. Dorrit, you're by the door and you're almost side by side with Howard Prince, who has his hand on Art Berman's shoulder, and he says, let's go watch a movie.
My hand is like trembling with anger, but I'm trying to blend into the wall right now to just be a forgettable security guard here for Joanne.
We'll all go together, Joanne. Pleased to meet you, by the way.
Nice to meet you. Why would I want to go see a film right now?
Well, I think that's kind of the problem, isn't it? If I just show you the movie, then you'll know what we're doing here.
Well, why don't you just tell me about the movie?
It's unlike any movie you've ever seen, that's for sure. And that's why we're going to show it on television tomorrow.
Who's the director? Anyone I know?
Oh, it's a young kid. It's first feature. And this is going to be the debut of debuts. Young kid named Leonard Kemp.
I see. I don't think RA is going to appreciate this, Howard.
I know. But I think that once you see it, you'll realize the only way this could have been shown was on television.
I'm a very busy woman and I don't have time to watch this. I'm going to go tell RA that you're going to show it tomorrow night. He and I are very good friends, have been for decades, as you know. And it's in my best interest to preserve my friendship with him. I'm very disconcerted at your unprofessionalism.
Miss Lamour, I am so disappointed that that's how you feel. But if you want to go, then you should go. And if you need to go tell RA about what we're doing here, that would be a shame also. But you're free to do so.
I look at Art. Art, do you want me to tell RA that you were here?
No, I don't. You know I don't. Joanne, if you could just not say anything. It's all going to be over in 24 hours.
Oh, why would I do
anyway.
That? 24 hours. In 24 hours, he can have somebody here. He can have the police here and seize the film.
I know. That's the point. I'm just saying, like, let's be reasonable. I mean, just let him show the movie.
But that is not how this is done, Art. It's not your film.
It's a different era. He doesn't understand. I mean, once he shows it, it's done, and then we'll be able to run it in theaters, and people will want to go see it because they have no other way to see it again. It's not like they can record it.
Exactly. It makes it something worth taking the time to enjoy. If everything is just there at your fingertips, if you can just sit in your living room and watch Cleopatra, then you don't care about Cleopatra. When you have to go to the theater and sit in the darkness and pay her the correct attention, that's what movies are all about.
And Howard Prince says, Joanne, I love your passion so much. And I think you're right. I think you're right in a way, but I think you're selling us short.
I think I'm selling you short because you're stealing a film. I don't take to thieves lightly.
Now, Joanne.
No, I don't see what you're saying now, Joanne, for. You completely stole RA's film. He paid for it, and you're taking it and distributing it. He can't make any money off of it.
This movie's not about making money. And even Art's like, the fuck? What are you talking about? If you just watch it with me, just watch it with me. And then you can tell RA about the movie. We have it all set up. You can tell him what it is, because he doesn't even know what it is, does he, Art?
I have nothing more to say to you, gentlemen. You should be ashamed. Is there a telephone on the secretary's desk?
There is, and the secretary is dialing a number on it.
I reach over and hang up. Press the button to hang up.
This very severe woman looks up at you.
You will call the police, ma'am. Immediately.
She grabs your finger on the phone and grips it as hard as she can. And she has the strength of a woman who has been powerlifting her entire younger years. And she starts to bend it up. And she's like, you will remove your finger from my phone.
You will not touch me. And I throw one of my just absolutely wonderful Joanne Lemoore temper tantrums, which only Art Berman has seen me do before, and I rip the phone and the papers all over the desk and just scream bloody murder in her face like a wild woman.
You do that, and she stands up, and she's gonna grab you by your collar and yank you over the desk, and we're gonna get a fight.
And do I get to resist somehow?
You get to roll a dodge. Go ahead.
A dodge. Okay. 23.
Get up!
I made it.
Yes!
You made it. She goes to grab you, and you pull away from her, and she's so frustrated because there's a desk between you, which means now she has to awkwardly walk around the desk to get to her prey. And you hear Howard Prince going, don't stop, please. Detective Dorrit, it's getting wild in here.
I'm making a ruckus, Dorrit. It's up to you. And
what would you like to do?
Dorrit has been sitting here kind of fuming. Joanne had made a promise that she was going to talk to him about Bonnie, and he feels like this is getting off track. And he is going to grab Howard by his collar, and he is going to try and basically throw him back into his office and close the door.
You grab him from behind and then start to push him forward. Give me a brawl roll.
And you're going in with him?
Oh, yeah. I'm following him, closing the door. 47. That is a success.
All right. You throw him in there, and you go with him. He trips over the rug just inside his office and falls onto the floor, and he looks up, and he goes, what?
I close the door, and I lock it behind me.
You hear Art immediately turn around and start hammering the door and trying to handle, realizing that it's locked.
I menacingly stand over him. I take out my gun and I rip off the mustache.
It was me.
Hello again, dear listeners. It's Jay, and I hope you're enjoying the show so far. I'm stepping in for the briefest of moments to inform you on how you can show your appreciation for the work we're doing here at Out of Depth. One way you can help out is to just recommend the show to friends and strangers. Our goal is to get our stories out to as many ears as we can, so word of mouth is huge for us. Recommending the show to your friends or leaving a review at whatever site you're listening to us at, that goes a long way to helping us find and build our audience. But Jay, you may say, can't I just give you a small fraction of my expendable income? How do I get it from my pocket to yours? Well, you can go to patreon.com/getoutofdepth and subscribe at any tier you feel comfortable with for as long as you would like to. Our patrons get all kinds of behind-the-scenes info on the work that we do here at Out of Depth. They also get first view of our raw recording videos for each episode of the show, and they get exclusive access to our post-season Q&A where we, the cast, discuss the story and why we made the terrible decisions that we did. So if you want that kind of access to us, you're only going to get that at patreon.com/getoutofdepth. That money helps us pay for artists and collaborators and expands our ability to create fun stories for you to enjoy. We don't do ads or paid endorsements of games, which means support from our listeners like you is absolutely vital to our growth. If you want to be a part of that, you can do it at patreon.com/getoutofdepth. Thank you so much. And with that out of the way, let's get back to the show and see what dark shadows our investigators will step into next. Detective Dorrit, I think we need to just go back to this because this is, we'll get back to Tara in a moment, but I think we need to finish what the play is here. Detective Dorrit, you reveal that you are the man that accused Howard Prince of being an alien. To his face, you unveil yourself in this impeccable disguise that could have fooled anyone.
Could have. It could have.
If only.
Intense reveal. You thought I was just wallpaper, but I was just disguised.
You're not my FICA. He looks up and goes, "It all makes sense now."
I am not surprised that you're coming after me, but stooping so low to come after my daughter, huh? To come after her? To get to me. That's a new low, Howard, or whoever the fuck you are.
Oh, John Murphy. I am so, so sorry.
I heard you in here talking to Art. I know you know where Bonnie is. I know you think that I won't hurt you because you're the only person that knows she's where she is. Well, it's time that you talk, because I think I can hurt you enough so that you would tell me.
I don't want to be hurt.
Well, tell me what the fuck is going on and where is Bonnie?
John, if only you could talk some sense into Joanne, we could watch this movie. Your daughter has done something incredible.
I don't care if she's in the film. Where is she right now?
She's at the screening room with the film right now.
Well, it sounds like that's where we're going.
That's where I've wanted to go this whole time.
Yeah, but you're going to go with a little more pressure on you, and you better let everyone know that's walking by there when we go to the screening room that if anyone tries to stop me, I will blow your brains out. And I take out my gun and I cock it and I hold it to his head and I say, take me to Bonnie right now. I'm
gonna get up now, okay, John?
Slowly.
Of course. He stands up. You wouldn't believe me if I told you, but I assure you this was a coincidence. I had no idea that she was your daughter.
You're right. I don't believe you.
Meanwhile, Gale, you're during this conversation, the secretary is storming around the desk. What would you like to do? And she's coming around. Are you just going to run out the desk like a Looney Tunes cartoon?
I mean, I am trying to stall. Actually, what I want to do is step. Is there a door to this reception area? Or is it just like open from the hallway?
It is open.
It is open to the hallway.
Yeah.
Okay. And have I seen any sort of skerfuffle or heard anything down the hallway that insinuates that anybody is alerted to my screams?
No.
Okay. Then...
Of course you're screaming. You can't really listen and scream at the same time.
Then I am going to run away and yelling, she's attacking me! She's attacking me!
Give me a dexterity roll. Or some other applicable skill. I don't know. Running?
Success.
She charges after you and she's like, she's just kind of like, making that noise as she's running after you. And in the background, you see Art just like pounding on this door as she's running after you. And you look, yeah, that's what you see when you look back over your shoulder and you round a corner where a security guard You run into his chest.
She's attacking me! And I keep running.
And?
Prolactin, come on, let's go.
Yeah, nice try.
He's like, I mean, how many times have I got to use that?
You haven't used acting at all?
I haven't used acting the whole flipping time.
Did you dump a lot of points in there?
No, not really. She's not a good actor.
You're a shit actor.
That's hilarious.
That should have been the tip-off for everybody that you were... You didn't get it through merit.
Wait, I assumed it was at 130 as well. It's not?
Okay. It's not. Actually, so my charm is much higher than my acting, and that's the idea. She was very charming. And to audiences as well. I mean, that's how she was success.
And Ari Goodrich's pants.
Oop. I didn't need to go there right this moment.
That's episode 11. Who cares? It's all coming out in the wash.
It's all coming out. Yeah. Okay, I keep running.
You start to take off. The security guard is going to grab you. You need to roll another dexterity to avoid getting horse collared.
Come on. 34.
Joanne Lamour is ducking and weaving like Devin Hester returning a punt for the Chicago Bears circa 2006. Just slipping by you. Just absolutely in Super Bowl against the Colts. Devin Hester just returns a kickoff or a touchdown. That's Joanne Lamour just weaving through there. Nobody can handle it. You're so old, but so spry.
She rolled out of a car. She's dodging all these people.
Dun, 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 dun.
Like, damn.
Strong female character. You just avoiding all problems. You're running away. And so, Dorit, we're having, just so I do this correctly, we're going to have... Howard Prince open the door and you just have a gun on him this whole time? Is that
so
how
I have
it?
A gun on him. I am gonna like pat his jacket. I'm gonna see if he's armed as well.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
You find one of those silver devices from the movie Men in Black.
Stop.
Yeah. So I am gonna let him unlock the door, and while he's unlocking the door, like, he can feel the gun literally against the back of his head.
He opens the door and Art's standing there, and Howard has his hands up and he goes, Art, I need you to calm down, okay? John here wants to go see the film. He wants to go see Bonnie down the screening room. I think we're going to lead him there. You can go or stay. It's really up to you. But I'm going to go ahead and take care of this right now. I'm a little indisposed. And Art's like, he has a gun on you, Howard. I'm very aware, Art. No one's more aware of it than me.
Oh, Art.
Oh, I know. Like, Art, wake up.
Art, you are coming as well. Walk in front of him. You lied to me, Art. You knew where she was.
I didn't know. I just got here.
Nah. You had a very casual conversation with Howard here that let me know that you knew where she was. All right? You're coming. We're going to find Bonnie together.
All right, and you all start heading down the hallway.
And as I walk by, with my other hand, I am going to rip the phone out of the phone cord out of the wall there.
Yeah.
Just with a foul swoop and...
down the hallway, you can see the secretary disappearing around a corner, just yelling, whoa, all the way down. This battle cry as Joanne is juking. Just absolutely juke it down these hallways with no map.
I don't know where I'm going, guys.
Oh, shit.
Any funny stuff, Howard? If you try and have any security help you, I promise you, you will die, okay? What you need to understand about me is I don't care about my own life anymore, all right? I just care about making sure she's safe. Understand that I have nothing to lose, okay?
Understood.
Great. Now the faster the better.
You all start marching down the hallway. In the distance, you hear yelling for Joanne Lamour, Haley Stone. What the fuck do I do with this projector?
I just had a brilliant idea that was in no way influenced by something that one of my, but like, can I take the plug out of the machine?
It is plugged in. Yeah, there's a wire that it's one of those big,
yeah.
It's like 3 inches in diameter.
Oof. Big guy. I want to pull that out of the wall.
Yeah.
We're in the projection booth, right? So would there be like a stool or something?
Yeah.
Like
still right next to you.
Is it made out of metal, maybe?
It's made out of wood.
Is it good heavy wood?
This is the 1950s, so yes.
Great. The first thing I want to try to do is I want to turn it upside down and use the top of the stool to try to like smash the plug.
Oh, you're just trying to like wreck the prongs of the plug?
Yeah, so that it can't get plugged back in right away.
Oh, sure. As you're doing that, Lewis is struggling with Leonard Kemp, who, to your suggestion, is biting his hand. I can't put my hand on his mouth again. He might have rabies.
Put a sock in it or something. I don't know. Smash.
It's like awkward silence as he's like, you want me to take my shoe off and put my sock in his mouth? I don't know.
Take his sock off.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care.
Take his sock off?
I don't care. Just figure it out. Lewis, figure it out.
All right. You're just smashing this plug with the top of this chair, trying to wreck it so this thing doesn't get plugged in.
How's the plug looking? Can I leave it alone yet?
I mean, it's all bent up and stuff. I mean, okay. It'll take some time to repair, but it's not going to be something where somebody could just pop it back in.
Well, that's helpful. I'm not letting go of that stool as long as it's still intact.
That's my new stool's fine.
Great.
It's good, sturdy American craftsmanship.
I just saw a flag like flying behind me. Okay, anyway.
It's the biggest flag. It says, right underneath it, it says mission accomplished. Lewis is doing a pretty good job keeping Leonard down until now. And Leonard's going to squirm out and he bucks Lewis up. And Leonard is going to start scrambling towards the door out of the booth and trying to leave the whole screening room altogether. And he's just yelling, Howard.
Oh, half of me wants to let him go and half of me knows he can't.
You just throw the stool at him.
I'm not ready to like let go of the stool. But
it's a good stool.
I am going to go after him, I think. Can I even, I don't know, try to stop him before he gets out of the projector room?
Sure. Make a dexterity roll.
No, I did not succeed on that one. Do I want to use luck? No, not on this one. It's not that important. He can get out. We'll figure it out over there.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
He runs out of the room, screaming down the hallway. Joanne, you are running in the hallways as well. And you hear someone yelling, Howard. Yes, this is an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Trying to think through just about how long it takes her to realize that that screaming is probably coming from something that we're doing. But I'm like, maybe not. Maybe somebody's just angry at Howard or needs Howard to fix something. But I'm going to run towards the screaming voice because that sounds like somebody that the security guard should actually help or might get distracted by or might stop them.
So what are you doing? I'm sorry, I got lost
in
your
words. Running towards the screaming voice calling for Howard.
All right, give me a listening roll to see if you can parse out where it's at.
Well, I listen. That's how I'm charming, I guess.
You want to use your library roll?
Oh, shite. That was the worst roll I've rolled on this thing.
Oh, no.
Can I push?
Yeah, how would you push?
I don't know.
You have to stop.
Yeah, you just have to. Yeah.
You have to duck in somewhere and hope that you can listen.
Is there a place I can duck in?
Yeah, there's like a little alcove and you just want to like stop and listen for like a quick second.
Yes.
You fail this and I'm going to catch you.
Yeah, I bet. Come on. Yes. Oh, that was also really close, but I did make it 48.
All right. You think you know where it is? You breathing deep. And then you take off again to see if you can find this voice, and you just hear behind you the squeaking of shoes as the security guard is trying to find you. Meanwhile, John Murphy Dorrit and his two hostages, Art Berman and Howard Prince, are making their way down the hallway, and you just hear the madness of people yelling and shouting ahead of you that Joanne has presumably created, not knowing that Haley Stone has had any part in any of it.
So what's Bonnie doing in the screening room, huh? Why is she here?
She's a part of the film. She wants to make sure that it goes off, that it's a big success.
So she's just here, just promoting the film, huh?
John.
Why did the people I'm with, why did they get any type of inkling that she was in dire trouble? Something about shadows? What are these shadows, huh? It's in the film, huh? Is that what you're gonna say?
It doesn't matter what I say, John. You don't believe me anyways. You think that I'm some kind of alien being from another planet, I believe is what you accused me of.
We don't have to play games with that.
And I'm not.
We both know what you are. And it's pretty inhuman of you to stay so ice calm with a gun to your head, huh?
When's the last time you've had a gun to your head, John?
Well, I feel like there's a gun to my head every moment that I don't know my girl is safe, okay? Keep walking.
Joanne Lamour, you round a corner, and at the same time, you see this dirty young man come around, just absolute filth. A sweater that is tattered and frayed all along the bottom. You're not even sure what the original pattern of the sweater was. It's so caked and dirt. And he sees you and you see him. And he goes, he's out of breath and he's mid-Howard. Joanne Lamour?
Do I recognize him from the picture that I knew was Leonard Kemp?
Yeah, that's Leonard Kemp.
Mr. Kemp?
You know my name. They're trying to get me, Joanne. And he runs.
Oh, he charges. They're back past there. You. The security's back there.
Oh, good. We need them. And he starts to brush past you. Stick around. I want you to see my film, please. I'd love to work with you sometime. And he goes around the corner past you to be like, hurry, hurry. She's this way. He's leading the security guard towards essentially your position.
I am going to, where did he come from? I'm now certain that the film is the film. I was pretty certain with Howard, but now I'm absolutely certain. I want to go towards where he was coming from, if I could tell.
So you go past him while he goes past you, right?
And then I want to look for a door. Any door that also like has a window in it. You mentioned earlier that one of the door, like the door to the screening room, had a window in it. So I'm looking for something that I could.
You mean the door has a physical window in the in the door?
Yes.
A windowed door. Yes.
A windowed door. Yes.
To what is the purpose?
I would like to hide in the room if I can find one like that and be able to look out and see where they're going if they come by.
You find a room. There's not any that have clear glass. They're either frosted or they're just a full-on, just a blank door.
Okay. I'll do frosted and like really just press my face up against it to look and listen for dark shadows and sounds.
You duck into this room and Haley Stone, you round a corner and you're chasing after. Did you give up on that when he got away or what? What was the...
Yeah, I think actually if he got away, I might have followed him out into the hallway. But if I'm not going to catch him on foot, I would turn back into the room. And I'm going to look at Lewis and I'm going to say, don't let anyone into this room for anything. And I want to go and I need tools. Do I get a sense like what... Are there going to be like tools? They're not going to be in the projection room, right? They might be in like a janitor's closet or something like that.
Maybe that storage closet you're looking at. Roll.
Yeah.
Give me a luck roll. Do you have any luck?
Ooh, I do have a little bit of luck left. I do. And I rolled underneath it. It's a 40. I have 44 luck and I rolled a 34.
All right, you go into that other room that I told you about, that storage closet. And inside are a couple of other regular projectors. And some toolkit to help work on those projectors.
Bingo. And I pick that up, and I'm going up to figure out how to open up this camera.
You go over there, and Lewis closes the door behind you, and he's like, I'm not letting anybody in, right?
Right.
Okay. Okay. I really hope there's aliens, don't you?
Lewis, I was thinking about that just a moment ago. How silly we were all going to look if this all goes down. But I think there's something wrong here. The way that door touched my face. And did you see that fella's eye come out of its socket? I don't know else that could be besides aliens, if I'm telling the truth.
Thanks for telling me. I needed a little reminder of the crazy shit we've seen.
Yeah, it's not all just normal. It's not all just normal. There is something weird happening here.
John Murphy Dort, you round a corner and you see Leonard Kemp and the security guard. And he's like, she's in there trying to destroy my movie. She's in there. And he turns and he sees Art Berman and he sees Howard Prince. He sees those two before he sees you. He doesn't even know who the fuck you are. And he goes, Howard, Art, there's a crazy woman. She's in there trying to destroy the projector.
Order them both to get on the ground right now, Howard.
Leonard, we're having a bit of a situation, and I'm going to need you to get on the ground at the behest of our friend here, John Dort.
The security guard, too.
Could you please both get on the ground? And Leonard's like, what is happening? Is this another thug from RA? And he gets down on the ground, the two of them. No. Leonard, this is Bonnie's father. And Leonard raises his head and looks at you. You're going to be so proud.
I have a feeling that's not true. I didn't realize you were Leonard. If that's the case, you belong in this same line. Why don't you stand up and join us?
Okay. Okay.
I pull out my pocket knife, and I hold that with my other hand towards Howard's back. I heard you say that if I ever wanted to see Bonnie again, that I would need you. If she's just in here, pitching a movie, selling it, why would that be true? Why would you have said that, Howard?
Bonnie and I have become very close, John.
Explain.
She's made something very special, and I support what she's done. And I think not a lot of people, including Mr. Goodrich, including yourself, would be able to understand it. I think you're going to see when we get to the screening room. But it sounds like there's a problem. And Leonard says they're trying to destroy the projector. She wrecked the plug.
Well, none of that matters at all right now. Your film doesn't matter, Leonard. What matters is a father knowing that his daughter is safe, okay? So let's not worry about anything else until I am satisfied. Do we understand?
Understood, sir.
Great. That's great, Leonard.
And Joanne, you hear this conversation as it passes in front of you. Their footsteps trail in the distance. What do you want to do?
Is there anything in this room that I can grab in self-defense?
Give me a luck roll.
Oh, 77. Nope, I didn't make it. Okay, and then I'm going to quietly... I can disguise myself.
She finds a fake mustache.
Joanne, there's no time.
No, I'm going to quietly sneak out, close the door softly behind me, kind of glance around and then follow,
Okay. Keeping
my distance and being quiet.
Haley Stone, you get to the projector and you're like, okay, how do I break this thing apart? And do you have a mechanical repair?
Those of you who were surprised by drive-in auto, meet mechanical repair. Listen.
This is going to be very difficult because this isn't a car.
Yeah, I know. That's fine.
So you're going to need a hard success.
That's great. I can do that.
So what is your mechanical?
140 points. Listen.
It's more than drive?
It's more than drive. Everybody, you remember how I rolled that I am like a savant? Like, why the fuck am I a stunt driver, right? I'm actually a mechanical engineer. So, here we go.
It is in the backstory, yeah.
It is in the backstory.
If you're a subscriber...
Now everybody knows. Well, now unless you know. You cut it out of the podcast. But anyway, come on, baby.
Don't cut it out.
I am going to have to spend some luck, actually, to make that a hard success, because I rolled a 77.
Okay.
Oh,
so I will. Yeah, I will spend 7 luck for that to make that a hard success.
All right. You're able to identify a couple screws that you might be able to lift off the front panel.
Mm-hmm.
And get to this movie, potentially. Great. Whatever it is that's inside here.
Let's go.
All right. You start to unscrew these screws. You start to remove the panel. And there's a catch that's keeping the panel from coming off. And you're going to have to slide it up. But when the panel comes forward, it's open just by a centimeter. There's a gap. And it's no longer completely closed. And you can hear inside this projector box the sound of flesh sliding against each other.
But I turned it off.
You did.
I'm sorry. I can't.
But I turned it off.
I turned it off. Okay, no, I didn't actually say that. It was just me being dumb.
It's in the show.
Okay.
Jay decides whether you said that now.
Yeah.
That's true.
I make the edits around here. depending on what you say next, it is 100% going to stay on the show.
Wait.
She's I might say something better. no,
yeah,
I think
she has to give me more. Replace it.
I can't, and I can't see yet, right? So, like, I'm picturing it that I like
no,
have my.
No, there's
hands.
A little glass window that's tinted.
Uh huh.
And that's it.
Even with removing the panel, so like that, but it's still between me and the noise.
There's something in between it. It's like I said, there's like a catch, so you're gonna have to like kind of slide it up.
Oh, I thought you said
this catch, and it's only when it comes out just a little bit that you're able to hear that sound now.
Can I look in the window?
You can continue sliding it up and see what's going on.
I want to look in the window.
It's really dark.
I can't see.
It's almost like a welder's mask.
Oh.
Like that kind of window.
Boy, I really got to know. I'm pulling that off, but I want to keep the panel between me and the camera for now. Kind of like a shield.
Make a sanity save.
Extreme success, baby. Nice. I rolled a 7.
Great. You're still going to lose.
What's up with the 7s all of a sudden? Sorry.
I know.
This is creepy.
You're still going to lose sense. 3 sanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Because.
What you see inside of this projector is a tangled mess of strips of organic matter that looks like a cross between skin and intestines looped around a reel and heading onto and caught around another reel. It's the intestines are paper thin and translucent, and you can see bits of what might be vein or membranes within this.
Oh, God. What is that?
And
is it moving?
Like, what is it?
Lewis, I think there's definitely aliens going on around here. Is it moving with any sort of, like, intelligence? Or, like, it's just doing the film thing?
It's not rotating. Mm. So the film's not going. It's just gliding on itself. Almost like each layer that is looped around it's like a rippling wave.
I throw up in my mouth, but I'm able to swallow it. I just rolled a constitution save.
Yeah, just to see.
Yeah. I am going to I mean, fuck the safety of this machine now. I'm going to throw the panel to the side, like, to get it away from me. And I want to get my stool, and I want to just start using the legs to, like...
Before you do that.
Yeah.
So you toss the panel down, and you're like, what do I do? And yeah. Before you do, Lewis goes, Miss Stone, we got a problem.
Oh, I'd say so.
No, somebody wants in the room.
Well, don't let them.
Well, and then Howard, Prince, Leonard Kemp, Art Berman, you're holding three people hostage with one gun and a knife. And you're on the other side of the door. And you hear Lewis say, I don't know. Miss Stone tells me I'm not supposed to let anybody in.
Lewis, open the door. We're here to get answers right now.
And he goes, Miss Stone, he says, open it.
What do you mean? Who?
Dorrit.
Oh my God, Lewis, why didn't you just say that in the first place?
Well, he's got other people. He's not alone.
I do not have time for this, Lewis. Just let him in. Dorrit needs to see this.
And he opens the door, and Leonard Kemp looks over Lewis's shoulder and sees you, Haley Stone, inside the projector booth with the door open. And he goes, no, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Please.
Can I bash it yet?
Tell her, Dorrit, you'll never see her again.
Remember what I told you. Your film doesn't matter right now. Finding out where my daughter is does, okay?
And he turns and he goes, she is the film.
Oh, God, Dorrit.
What do you mean?
And there's a moment where Haley understands this better than Dorrit does, who is 20 feet away and on the other side of a different door. And Lewis is in between you all. And Leonard goes, it's her. She's a part of it.
She's a part of what? That doesn't make any sense. What are you saying?
Dorrit, I don't know how to explain this to you, but and I don't even know if you want to see what's in here, sir, but what he means is not what he wants you to think that he means. Your daughter is not okay, sir. And I'm sorry to be the one to tell you.
Dorrit pulls the trigger.
Howard pulls the trigger, and Howard Prince's insides explode all over Lewis's face, who was standing on the other side of him. Howard drops to his knees and falls flat on his face. And John Dorrit, you look down at what you've done. And what you see is that Howard Prince bleeds red blood just like you.